Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I know that you could be anywhere in the world, but you've decided to come here to listen to my show. If you could please give us a like and leave a great review, we would really appreciate it. So today's show is a little bit different than my normal podcasts. I am having a conversation again with Mary Nisi. She's the owner of Toast and Jam DJs. And we had a part one conversation last year, and we talked about politics and Mayor Johnson and other things that were happening in the world related to small business owners. And we once again have another conversation around small businesses and what are some of the things that politicians are not doing and, you know, what are some of our struggles? And it's just, there's a lot happening with small businesses, especially with women-owned businesses like Mary and I. But I want to caution you on this particular conversation because there is some swearing going on, and we are talking about some topics that might be, you know, a little salacious or offensive or triggering for some people. So I am going to, for the first time on my show, I'm going to put parental discretion advised because there's a lot of cursing going on. So just to give you a heads up. And again, this is a little bit different than what I normally talk about on my show. I normally have different types of conversations with business owners and entrepreneurs, but this is a woman that I work with in Chicago, in Illinois, and she's a small business owner just like me. And she and I always have a fantastic time when we get together because it's usually kind of wild and she's really opinionated and she's a lot of fun to talk to. So enjoy the show and parental discretion advised. I'm not going to be doing any bleeping. I'm not going to do that. So just go with it this time. And I cannot wait to talk to Mary Nisi again next time, because again, we have such a ball. Welcome to the Honest Field Guide podcast, a weekly show dedicated to winning in entrepreneurship. I'm your host, Ginger Birkenbuehl. I'm the CEO of Burke Creative, a leadership, brand strategy, and visual identity agency dedicated to helping scale brands and assist with their adaptability with the market. On my show, you get to eavesdrop in on intimate conversation with business leaders and inspired entrepreneurs designed to give you tips and strategies so your own business can thrive. Subscribe and join me each week for laughter, inspiration, and honest stories. Hey, Mary.
Hey, Ginger.
Ginger.
So
I always tell this joke because I ask people that are from Boston. I'm like, I tell them, I said, my name is Ginger. And they say, oh, hey, nice to meet you, Ginger.
And you're like, that's the way to finally get someone to say your name correctly.
Exactly. Every time. It works every single time. I mean, and I love it. I was at Sundance Film Festival last month, and I met a couple people that were from Massachusetts, and it's such a great conversation starter. So thanks for saying Ginger. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Ginger. Yeah. My dad was like, when you introduce yourself to people, make sure that you say, my name is Ginger.
You know. I met somebody recently whose name was Gina, and it was spelled G. She was, my name's Gina, G-E-E-N-A, because my dad didn't want to spell it G-I-N-A because he didn't want people calling me Gina. And I'm like,
Gina.
I'm like, how forward thinking,
you know,
for.
What? I'm sorry. Only a man would look at G-I-N-A and think giant vagina.
Yeah, I've never looked at it and thought.
Never, ever. Yeah. I mean, men just, you know, they have one track mind. No offense, guys on the
island. Yeah, no.
But anyway, listen, I am so glad to have you back for part two.
I'm glad to be back too.
Our part one was hilarious and definitely in my top five most downloaded podcasts because people, you know, love like chaos or something. I don't know what the hell.
It's what I bring.
Yeah, you do bring chaos. You do bring chaos. I have to introduce you a little bit this time because last time we talked, I was just like, oh yeah, we met at the, you know, the party that was raising money for blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Bill Foster, I think it was.
No. It was Sean Kasten.
Sean Kasten. That's right. Sean mm-hmm. Kasten. Bless his heart. All right. Mm-hmm. So I am talking again to Mary Nisi. Again, my favorite person in the entire world. She brings so much joy and hilarity to my life.
Right back at you.
I swear, she is the owner of Toast and Jam DJs, one of the largest and best regarded DJ companies in the Chicagoland area. And I would go as far as saying in America, I mean, literally in America, like you go anywhere. You don't have to just be in Chicagoland. And no. I say Chicagoland because Mary did leave Chicago proper or Chicago. And she's in this. She's a suburban woman now, as you can see by her background and her beautiful suburban home, because this does not look like a Chicago home. Right.
I will say, as somebody who had to get clawed out of the city of Chicago, now that I'm here, I'm like, why was I such a cunt about this? Like,
yeah,
this
I know.
It's kind of nice up here. Not going to lie.
You know, I love that word. I love that word. I will never say that word, but I will let you say it.
I like to call things cunty. And I can't tell if it's like a
parental discretion advice on this one.
I feel like when I use it, I feel like I'm using it pointedly. I'm never just going to randomly use that word. It has,
you know, maybe like if a woman says it to another woman, it's okay.
Yeah.
But I've heard men say it, and it literally makes my hands go like this. And I'm just like, I'm ready to fight. Like, I'm ready to fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's like the way they say it. It's the way they say the
word. It's so weird. It sounds like they have just reduced a woman to like the worst day of your period.
I can't even bring myself to say it.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe I shouldn't. Maybe there are feminists out there that, you know, are like, you shouldn't use that word about anything. But I'm in a reclaiming it period.
I mean, I guess like, when I hear a man say that word, it really does change my opinion about that man, like instantaneously. I'm like, that is not a man that's going to be someone that I want to be friends with. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I feel. So I've raised my 3 sons to never use that word.
Yeah.
Ever.
Perfect.
And when they ever see it in writing, or if they hear someone say it on social media, like walk away, unfriend, unclick immediately.
Yeah. That's bad
just
guy.
Being honest.
Okay, so
wait, I have to finish though. I have to finish. So Mary, also, I have to say, is the host of All Up in My Lady Business, a podcast that explores being a woman in business. And I was so lucky to be invited to be on the show, and it was great. I got to talk about my yoni, and you can just look up what a yoni is if you ever know. But what
it's a,
do you remember?
It's a cunt. It's.
Oh my god. Mary is gonna keep saying this word.
I really don't use the word much, and here I am using it like 15 times.
The yoni is something that you put inside your up in your lady business, and it's supposed to help you strengthen your muscles, you know, in your vagina. That's what it's for. It's supposed to like
help. A yoni is a thing?
You thought, what the hell? You didn't know, you for real did not know what I was talking about?
I thought a yoni was just a word for your yoni.
No. Oh my God. No, it's an actual thing you put in your vagina. It's made, it's like your face. I'm sorry. It is made in like my yoni, which I mean, and this is getting really detailed, but the yoni, it's like made of like marble, and it's shaped like an egg. Yeah. And you put it in your vagina, and it helps like strengthen your walls and your muscles. It's like
it's
a Kegel,
vagina
but with
weights.
An egg inside.
Yeah.
A what?
Like vagina weights.
What is a vagina weight?
I have.
Oh my God. Like you and me with our, I got a yoni, you got a vagina weight.
They're these little egg. I can't believe we're talking about this. This like, they're like these little egg shaped things, and they're like 1 ounce, 4 ounce. And it's like, it's the same thing. It's for strengthening the pelvic floor. And it's like, you're supposed to put it in and like walk around with it. And it's like, you're supposed to go up in weights, and it's like to keep you from peeing yourself.
Oh my
or,
God.
Yeah.
So like it's like a bunch of mini yonis.
Yeah, it's mini yoni.
Oh my God.
Anyway, let's get off this. What are we talking about today?
Oh my God. I mean, I didn't think I was gonna be thinking about my vagina at this
it's
moment.
It's what
now,
I do.
I mean
it's the energy I bring to anything, is
you know,
I'll make
I
it
haven't used,
awkward and wrong.
Just so the audience knows, I have not used my yoni in quite a while. But for all of you women that have children like Mary and I have, after you have a child, not only does the shape of your body change, but the shape of your vagina changes, especially mine. I had 3 sons. I have 3 big giant boys coming out of me. So, and I had a natural childbirth. I don't know if you did, Mary, but I had a natural childbirth. So, you know, and yeah, this is the last we'll talk about that, because there's a lot more information we could share. But this Honest Feel Guide podcast is not about
I mean, at least we're just marinating in our honesty.
Honest. Mm-hmm. Marinating is a good word. Well, listen, I am always loving talking to you because I'm still 100% burned up about local politics in Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. The last time we talked, we were talking about. Yeah, no, you got what? I mean, I'm still really burned up. Like, I just finished listening to a press conference of Mayor Brandon. I know you don't live in Chicago anymore with your beautiful suburban life. And I must have heard the word process like 100 times and the word trust and just these random kind of like, you know, and he was talking about, you know, he was talking about the migrant challenge and a contract that's going to be expiring with the police department. And people were like, you know, asking questions like, you know, what happened to the $75 million? He's like, I never said anything about $75 million. Like, I don't know. It's just, I just feel like when I look at his press conferences compared to previous mayors, I don't feel like he's saying anything. Like nothing is being, like he's just using a lot of buzzwords. And then here's the other thing that I thought was really bizarre about Mayor Brandon's press conference. And I don't listen to all of his press conferences, but he has a cadence to his speech. And I don't know about you, but I like listening without looking at a picture. Like I like listening to people talk and close my eyes or turn off the camera just to kind of, I get more information from what someone's saying than what they're doing with their body. Mm-hmm. And like, he has this, like, you can tell when he's confident about what he's saying, you can tell when he's not, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like he was sometimes slow and plodding or uncertain maybe. And then other times he would like roll into like this amazing speech or amazing talk. And I could tell that when he was energized around a conversation, it was more of a buzzy conversation than a substantive one. Like mm-hmm. he was just, you know, feeding into what people want to hear, what he thinks they want to hear. It sounded more like an election campaign versus real information. The people in the audience, the press journalists, were frustrated, you could tell. And I don't know, like, I still feel like, you know, and when I go out into the world, like, so I just came back from the Sundance Film Festival, right? And I was shocked that people knew about Mayor Johnson. And some people expressed disappointment that Mayor Lori Lightfoot was still not mayor. They're just like, how did this happen? You know? So I don't know. Like, I feel like he's not, for me, he's not being a good enough brand ambassador for Chicago.
I suppose that's one way to put it. I mean, here's the thing. I feel like the mayor of any major city is in an unenviable position. And I think that like all of them come in, they think they're going to, you know, it's kind of like how Obama said back when he was running in 2008, that, oh, the first thing I'm going to do is close Guantanamo and that shit is still open. I think it's like you get in there and you realize like you don't just have the power to like do things because if you do, you're technically a dictator. And so, you know, things are more complicated than anyone tends to understand. So like, and heavy hangs the head that wears the crown. And, you know, I do think that Lori Lightfoot was handed a bullshit hand, you know, bill of lading. Like, I think that she, you know, governing through COVID, I mean, that was a tough time. You had to make hard decisions and
she saved a lot of lives.
She saved a lot of lives. Like,
she saved a lot of lives.
I'm here to tell you, like, I mean, I know it's not fashionable or whatever, but like, I liked Lori and I think that she I honestly feel, I don't know if it's, you know, I think it's because she's a black woman that she wasn't reelected. Like, I think that it's the same thing with Obama. We have Trump because Trump couldn't handle being made fun of by Obama. Yeah. And people were like, well, the black woman, we tried a black woman. It didn't 100% work. It 90% worked. But we weren't looking for 100. We were looking for 30% from Daley and maybe 40% from Rahm. But from Lori, we're going to expect 100%. And if we don't get that, then, you know, fucker, we're going to throw out the bathwater and bring in. And I think that Brandon Johnson, you know, I think that he, I mean, I wasn't following as close as I probably could have. But
Did you leave Chicago before the election? Okay. And so you didn't even vote in it or you?
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't even get to vote in it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I probably could have in the Chicago way.
You were still a resident, right?
I wasn't. I was probably still registered. but I'm illegal. I follow the rules. I re-registered in Evanston. I changed my place and now I don't.
Who's the mayor of Evanston?
Daniel Biss.
What's he like?
Practically a communist.
A what?
I mean, he's not really a communist. What the hell? But he's just super liberal. He's like, I mean, the liberalness in Evanston is it's. I feel there's the liberal overcorrection here is. It's a lot, but in a good way. Like, I would rather have it be. People call me on my shit, and I'm like, ooh, this never happens. This is exciting. Like, you know, like.
I mean, but Evanston. Okay, so comparison, like. He's definitely not dealing with the major problems that we have in Chicago, right?
No, there's migrants everywhere. I mean, there's. Yeah.
What about the tax issue in like Evanston? Oh, like
the taxes are insane. I actually had a huge issue because our 2023 was a reassessment year, and so that means that my house was reassessed at what I paid for it, and I overpaid for it by a lot, and like, which you know I think a lot. I mean, but my interest rates are low, so it kind of whatever.
Yeah,
but. That price can change, you know, like I bought it when shit was crazy. And so,
yeah,
the taxes were assessed at, the new amount and my taxes went up by $17,000.
Are you kidding me? $17,000.
And we freaked out. Like we were like, I don't think
we
can stay here.
Can you protest that? Is there like a facility to do that?
Well, I'd already done that and we failed or we didn't get the renewal thing. And so then my husband called and lost his mind on the attorney. I don't know if this had anything to do with it, but we got a reduction by $9,000. So
thank God for the lawyers.
Yeah. But I mean,
but like, I guess what I've understood is that Northwestern University doesn't pay taxes. And so the taxes get passed on to the people. Is that true?
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know if you've heard about the hullabaloo around Ryan Field. Has that even made it into your, yeah. So there's the football field here is like old and decrepit and they're redoing it and they want to change it from a nonprofit to a for-profit entity so they can have like concerts and shit and yep. Like the NIMBYs and Wilmette have lost their mind and right. Then there's all these people
and we love Wilmette by the way I love yeah. Wilmette I'm
oh no I love I love it and I don't and I and I get it like if you live within a block of I mean because it's right in a residential area mm-hmm. But they're like it's gonna be loud it's gonna bring this it's gonna bring that and it's like I don't think they're gonna be having like Lollapalooza at Ryan Field. You know, it's gonna
well,
be
not
like
yet.
It's gonna be like Smash Mouth.
I met him by the way at Sundance.
Perry Farrell?
I sure did. I have pictures. Oh
my, I would probably lose my mind.
Would Jane's you lose your mind?
Jane's Addiction was like
I know, right?
Huge for me. Like I went to the first
Well, you know there's a documentary out. The documentary on it is out. That's yeah, what was at that's why he was at Sundance. It premiered at Sundance. The documentary
I haven't
on
seen
Lollapalooza.
It. But yeah. But he I
he's pretty
I was
old
at,
now.
I was at the first Lollapalooza back in 91. Yeah, 91. I saw I was at the mm-hmm. first. I was actually at the first like seven of them. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, my point is that Evanston does have a very large tax base, and they yeah. get a lot. But here's the thing, though, we get shit done, and that's yeah. one of the things that I find yeah. I've found to be the most eye opening here is that when you do pay taxes into a place that's actually run mm-hmm. like a normal. You know, like it's like, oh, wow, look, like I pay a lot in taxes, but like they replaced all the lead pipes within, you know, 3 weeks on my block.
Exactly.
And
yeah, there was I remember. So our youngest son goes to Loyola Academy mm-hmm. and they needed to put lights on the football field so they could have night games. And that was a really big problem. Like it was like huge, like the whole community got involved and, you know, protests. I mean, mm-hmm. they got the lights, but. There is a very activist political base up there. And,
well, and it's
I love
change
and
is
people,
scary.
And people listen. People listen and do stuff. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, I feel like when I was watching this press conference with Mayor Johnson, I mean, I was astonished at how nothing was said. I was like, we've never had a mayor that's never said nothing. Like, I'm
also,
like, what the hell?
I mean, I would also
I don't know.
Like to argue.
I guess
I don't want to
bash. I don't want to bash him too much because, like you said, like. You know, they're given this ridiculous job that they can't win at. But I guess for me, I feel like maybe what does he need? Does he need media training? Does he need media training? Like,
well,
what is it he needs to do to like make himself more lively, more like articulate about like things without using words like process 100 times.
Yeah,
right?
I think he needs to get a thinner skin. So
I think he needs a thicker skin.
I think he needs to realize like you can't listen to your. I mean, when you're that big, you can't listen yeah. to the shittiest dumb thing that someone says to you about on yeah. TikTok or whatever.
Yeah.
But prior yeah. coming into this, wasn't he a community organizer? Wasn't that his job?
What? Yes. I guess.
So
he was President Obama. Wasn't he a community organizer?
He was the state senator too. Like, he had political experience before he ran.
Okay, that's probably a better way to predicate the predicated then, right? Oh, unless you're saying like community organizer, he really didn't have the qualification to be mayor.
I'm not saying qualifications. I'm just saying he didn't have the skin thickening experience that having a little bit of political experience that would have brought to his administration. But I think also he's trying to do things, in a union type of way, which isn't. I mean, I'm a huge fan of unions. I love them. You're shaking your head. I don't know how you feel about unions, but but hold on. I'm a fan of unions. I think he's trying to bring that union energy to Chicago, and you can't. Case in point, I don't know if you've been affected by the new PTO ordinance that's coming in.
Were
you aware?
So.
You weren't even aware of it?
Like, is that part-time ordinance? What does that stand for?
It's
PTO.
Paid time off. So in
why would me as a small business owner be affected by that? I know you might be because you have staff.
Yeah,
you have like a lot of staff.
If you have, do you have any W-2 employees?
Not anymore.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well,
not since the pandemic. No.
Okay. Mm-mm. So if you have a W-2 employee, anybody, mm-hmm. this is like the bodega on the corner to Boeing. You have to give every employee, regardless of part time or full time, if they're a W-2, you have to give them an hour of PTO for every 40 hours that they work, up to 80 hours.
Mm, okay.
And they started talking about it in like October. They mm-hmm. passed it in November. They just passed it.
Yeah.
And it's like, and in theory, like I'm not against people being given PTO. Like, if you work hard and this is your job, like, I think for a full-time worker, all full-time workers should be getting some kind of PTO. And my full-time workers do. I give them 2 to 3 to 4, depending upon whatever. But there's a minimum. And that's when you give 2 weeks of PTO, then you're good. You're qualifying. But if you like work part-time at Portillo's, just as the cashier ringing up and you're 18 or whatever, like, you're going to, the Portillo's has to keep track of, and then if that person wants paid time off, you have to give it to them. And if they don't take it, you have to pay them for it at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And it's like with my job, it's like my DJs give me their availability. They say, I want to work on this day. I don't say you have to work, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then if you want to take a Friday off, you get paid for it. Like, that's a different type of thing. And so it didn't really take into consideration the various ways in which people are employed. Like, I can't have a DJ mm-hmm. that takes a wedding for April 25th. And then it's like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I want to get paid for it. Like, that's just not how it operates. But it also has
they probably didn't really tap into the small business community to find out mm-mm. what the small business community needs, which is another thing that pisses me off about the current administration that's in City Hall and even at the state level. I love Governor Pritzker. I still mm-hmm. do not. And I like and love Preckwinkle and, Mayor Johnson. He's 10 months in or whatever. He's still new, but none of these people are doing enough for small business owners. The fact that you're having these major challenges means that nobody talked to you. Nobody talked to anybody like you. Mm-mm. And if there are people like you in the circle, they're gatekept, they're gatekeepers, and they're not getting to the right people to be able to say, this isn't really going to work for us. Because what is the definition of a small business? A lot of times the definition is like 50 million and up. Well, hell, you're not making 50 million. Neither am I. Like,
well, I think it's 500 employees and less.
Sure. I mean, but I'm just talking about in terms of like if you look at the government contracts, when you look at government contracts for small businesses, they're like $50 million, like, really. And so you figure out how to administer and maintain a $50 million account. That's a lot of manpower, women power that you need to maintain an account at $50 million. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, to staff it, to deliver the service or the product. I mean, it's $50 million a lot. So my point is, though, is that like, when they make these decisions, they're talking to different types of small businesses that are defined by the government as a small business. They're not really talking to the gazillion entrepreneurs and women-owned businesses around, you know, state, local, nationally. They're not talking to people like us. And we are so many, but we're not being heard at all because we're not getting enough money. Our taxes are going up too much. I mean, look, your freaking house, $17,000 in an increase in taxes, that has a huge impact on a small business owner who's working out of her home and another location. You know what I'm saying? So nobody's really talking to us. And I feel like when I look at, when I listen to someone like, you know, Mayor Johnson, who has a, you know, thousands and thousands of people in this city that work off their kitchen table, trying to make money and trying to hustle out here. He's not speaking to us, and we can have an impact on the communities and the neighborhoods, because when we make money, we make changes in our families and we make changes in the communities and we make changes all across the city. Like, we have a huge impact, and nobody's really helping us, Mary. I'm sorry. I really,
do we have an impact? That's the so here's the thing on
we
all
do
of
have
that,
an impact. Yes.
Well, I mean, we do, but they don't care. Like, and that's the thing. It's like they make the, the laws that they are making are trying to right the wrongs that are being inflicted on employees by these big companies coming in
that are,
you know, they're cutting expenses and making it more profitable for shareholders instead of trying to take care of their employees. What is the fucking point of work? What is the point of work? It's not to make those people a lot of money. And all these labor laws are made to correct those things. And the small business owners then wind up being either like, we either get these things forced on us with no roadmap on how to, because I want to do it right. I don't want to be wrong, doing things wrong, but I don't get a letter that says, hey, small business owner, these laws have gone, it's on you to find the law and read the law, understand the law and implement the law. You're not getting told. I mean, I guess maybe you are via like labor law posters, but like, I don't
know. And you're not, I mean, you're out here trying to, and you're trying out here to run your business too and take care of kids. So like, I mean, how much time do you actually have, you know? And there's nobody. And here's the other thing. Like, this is the other thing that really frustrates me. You know, I got a letter, I think it was from one of these organizations in the state that's like, oh, you know, we're working with small businesses and we're working with, you know, minority owned businesses. And we want you to come to our event so that we can talk about all the opportunities that exist within the state to help you get more business. And, you know, I get these emails all the time, constantly.
Are they directly to you? Or are you part of like, are they bulk sending?
They're bulk sending them out. And see, here's the thing. A lot of these messages that go out, these people that are running these organizations, number one, they have to justify their jobs. Number two, they're getting paid to do something to show a good face. It's very performative. It's not action-based. And number three, if you're like me, and there's a lot of people out here like me that have gone to these events and believed for some reason that these organizations are really out here to help us get work, you know, women and Black and brown-owned businesses, and you get to these things, and you listen to people on a panel talk about all kinds of stuff about how this is what you need to do to get a contract. This is how you have to set up your networks and meet people here and meet the big guys and meet the mid-market companies and the large companies that are out here getting these larger contracts and subcontract, blah, blah. It goes on and on and on. At the end of the day, one person squeaks through and it doesn't happen at scale. So to your point, you know, nobody, I mean, and here's another thing, like that would be great opportunities to talk to us about what we need as small business owners. They could use these vehicles to then, you know, go in and help us make more money and not pay more taxes and help laws like what you're describing, the PTO law, maybe have some other considerations. But no, these companies, these organizations are out here. They're pretending to make a difference for us when they're not even doing some basic things like, can you please talk to somebody to help them understand why PTO isn't going to work for our small business. Like, so nothing's really, my point is that nothing is really working to put money in the pockets of small business owners. The politicians that we elect are not doing enough. The aldermen in Chicago are not doing enough. The Cook County leaders are not doing enough. You know, and the large businesses, they're not even being forced or policed to help smaller businesses drive more money to the economy. I mean, it's like, I don't know, this doesn't work. And then like, and let me just say one more thing while I'm on this diversity, equity, inclusion programs. I'm sorry. I mean, listen, this is very polarizing, but they have never, ever worked. Ever. They've never worked. And I know it sounds crazy because you have like Mark Cuban out here saying, you know, we need DEI programs. Yeah, we need like people to not be racist.
Well, okay,
you know what I mean? Like, what are we saying? Like, yes,
you've covered so many fucking things. I don't know where to even pin you down.
I know. Listen, this is, I mean, the main thing I'm saying is that nobody is really truly making a dent in helping small businesses locally, statewide, or nationally. No one's making a dent. It's not happening. It's not
working. Because we're not the tax base that's giving them the money that they need. But here, to go back to a couple of things.
Wait,
back,
how are we not the tax base? Because we're individual taxpayers.
Well, but I know, but they don't care about the money. I mean, the money that we're bringing in is, I mean, for me, it's a lot of money, but for them, it's not. I mean, they're not going to make decisions for, they're not going to try to help us because what they're getting out of us from a tax basis isn't as high as they're going to get from, like, you know, let's use Portillo's again. Like, they're a bigger company in Chicago. So, like, they're probably, Portillo's is probably technically a small business because they've got less than 500 employees. And
do they really?
I don't know. I would imagine. They're not national, you know,
interesting.
Like, at any rate, my point is that they're not asking for our input because they don't fucking care about our input. And I want to go back to something earlier, like that.
This is insane. Yeah.
That when I have been trying, I've had my business for, I'm in my 18th year. I have been trying for probably, thank you. My business can be legally bound to a contract and smoke, in some states. I have been trying to become a certified women business owner for like 15 years. And every time I try to submit my application, they're like, your articles of incorporation are missing a page. And then I get, and it's like, I can't even become a part of a group that has any voice in policy. And that's where like the 10 smalls, not like 10, like 10K SB, like the Goldman Sachs program. Like they have a big ear to policy, but whenever they send out these surveys, cause we get sent these surveys a lot as a graduate, you're supposed to fill these surveys out so they can have data to give. And it's like, I think there must be a lot of larger businesses cause they're that are in it or that are, I don't know, the questions they ask, they barely apply to me. Mm-hmm. And, and it's, so I don't even have a place.
Well, I mean, the questions are antiquated.
Well, yeah, but I guess my point is that I don't even know how they would even find me to ask my opinion on things because I can't become a certified women business owner. There's not the Chamber of Commerce doesn't seem to be very active in Chicago or have anything to do with anything. You know,
those are just political arms. They really are.
And so, you know, it's like, I feel like as a business owner, I feel like I'm in an island. And quite frankly, in many ways I am. I don't know if I brought this up when we talked the last time, but like, I don't have like wedding professional or wedding DJ or DJ doesn't have a NAICS code. Did we talk about this the last time I was on?
Come on now.
So yeah.
That's not true.
It is absolutely true.
I can't believe it. I'm doing it right now. No.
Do it. So, try to search for DJ. And so NAICS, for those who aren't listening, is the North American Industry Classification. System. And it's like every single occupation.
So wait, why can't you use musical groups and artists?
Because I'm not a musical group. But we go under independent artists. That's what they call.
Right.
My NAICS code is, but I'm not an independent artist and neither are my DJs. They're W-2. And it's like, because I don't have a NAICS code, I have to get glommed. I get grouped under alternative in independent artists instead of being like an actual business that grosses millions of dollars and, you know, doesn't net a millions of dollars, but like it's a real industry making real money. And I've been audited twice by the Illinois Department of Employment Security. I have a DJ, a former DJ that's trying to file a claim with me with the Department of Labor. I have had,
And you can't get a person at the Department of Labor either. You can't get a human being.
Oh no, someone
assigned to your case.
Yeah. They've actually been great, but,
okay. All right. That's good. That's good.
But my point is that I keep getting this scrutiny and people are always like, God, you get so much scrutiny. And I thought it was weird too. I thought it was just like, let's just, you know, take the woman down. And I think it's because I'm the canary in the coal mine on any policy. Like when I made my DJ's W-2, I had to get a workers' comp policy and there were no DJs that could provide any data on how often DJs are filing workers' comp claims.
So I had to
enter it at the highest rate, which is like 4% of payroll. So like my first year of workers' comp, it cost me $26,000 for my policy. And every year it's come down because I haven't filed any claims. So now it's down to like 12 grand, but I'm still paying 12 grand a year.
This is so bizarre to me. Like when I was at the Sundance Film Festival, there were DJs everywhere.
Yeah.
Freelance DJs that are hired, you know, by these major brands, major brands, you know, Dropbox,
a friend of mine was there.
Adobe, Chase Sapphire. Mm-hmm. Are they in the same situation? I mean, are they mm-hmm. also dealing with the same situation?
No, because they are most likely they are all just they're just independent contractors. They're 1099 DJs that are getting hired by these companies. They're getting paid probably like, you know, $20,000 yeah. to yeah. come and DJ at it, but they better yeah. be sacking away 30% because
yeah.
you know, because so then they're just filing they're actually filing as an independent artist and then they're paying yeah. self-employment tax.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I just so much. I feel like small businesses are under attack mm-hmm. all the time. We're just under attack. And I don't feel like we're getting enough. And when I say small business, I mean, people need to know that a small business in my world is like people like Mary and I, where you're one or 10 and you're really running a small operation that is not only something that you love to do and brings you a incredible amount of joy. But two, you actually have the ability because so I don't have employees now. I actually hire people 1099 when I need the work, right? When I need the help. So we bring money into other people's pockets and, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of us out there. And so I know you're saying that they don't care about our money, but our companies employ a lot of people, whether they're 1099 or W-2s. And this is what I'm saying. We're just not getting the support and the contracts and the opportunities and the access to tables where people are making decisions and cutting checks. And our politicians, again, are not doing enough to help us. And they're not forcing corporations to help us either. Like, do you know all these big companies? Like,
they
Mary, like, for example, Mary, like in Chicago, like, okay, Boeing has a big event, you know? So what do? They go out and they hire a 1099 guy, you know, to go out and DJ their party. They really should be contracting with Toast and Jam DJs, which mm-hmm. is like a professional outfit, but they have to kind of be forced to do that. They have to be told like, look, we as City of Chicago or State of Illinois, you know, you're doing a lot of business in our city. You're making a lot of money here. You're doing a lot of deals. You know, you're using our city and state as a hub. You need to be start tapping into all these local businesses to do your work. For example, I got an email, Democratic National Convention. They're just like, oh, you know, we want you to put your name on a form and when we look at the form, we'll get your information and we'll make a decision whether you can work at the Democratic National Convention for us and get paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, really? That's the best you can do is to like send me an email with a form to fill out. I've been in business since 1997.
Was that from the city of Chicago?
I mean, I could pull it up right now. It's from the city of Chicago or, you know, somebody that is in charge of getting local vendors at the Democratic National Convention. Did you get this email?
No,
you
I didn't get this. I've signed up to get, basically it's like, I was like, I want to DJ everything for the DNC. And so I've been trying to figure out how to like, where we can put in an RFP. But that's the thing though. I mean, Ginger, that's the thing is like, this is where, like one of my biggest arguments, one of my little broken record things is that we've forgotten what the point of work is. You hustle too hard. You shouldn't have to work as hard as you do for the money that you get. But
well,
my
point, okay.
But like municipalities, true. It's like in the city of Chicago, to be a city of the Chicago teacher or fireman or policeman, you have to live in the city of Chicago. I think that's right. I think that if you're going to have your, you know, I feel like that's, you should be in the place. It's like how beat cops are no longer living in the place where if there were beat cops in every ward, and you knew your cop and they knew you and they knew if like that kid's hanging out in the corner, they're probably a nice kid, but because yep. you don't know who they are, you're going to like, woo, woo. And then, you know, then all of a sudden that kid has fear and a record and they're getting told they, whatever. My point is that when you've like the corporations that are living in the city, they should be forced to use people that live in the city of Chicago. But how are they going to know that I'm there? If I'm not in, if I don't have a certified women business thing, and that's where they go to find the women that they want to have do jobs. Or if there was a chamber of commerce in the city of Chicago that we could be registered within and they knew how to find us.
But that would also go to bat for you. Again, I keep, you know, honing in the point that these political operative organizations don't go to bat the way they should for small businesses. They look like they do on the outside, but on the inside, underneath, the process does not go to bat for small businesses. None of the organizations do that. Mm. And the corporations are not told to do it. And they'll go back now and they'll say, well, we don't really have to do it. You know, you can tell us to hire a woman or a Black-owned business, but the law of America says that we don't really have to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what are we doing here? I mean, how do we become, you know, how do we make ourselves, you know, financially independent? I mean, how do we do this work? How do we hold our politicians, you know, to, you know, how do we hold their feet to the fire? I mean, if I was at the press conference with Mayor Brandon Johnson, like if I had been there, you know, people like me are not there. We're not given the opportunity to ask questions of the mayor in that type of a forum, right? And the ones that are there are not trained in the thinking and the critical analysis that we're having right now. Mm-hmm. They're just like, we want to know why taxes are higher. We want to know what's going on with the migrant situation. I would like for somebody in that room to say, you know, let's switch gears a little bit. You know, how are you putting money into the pockets of small business owners in Chicago? How are you giving them opportunities to actually make a huge difference that they can be more, you know, they could be more positive about the city of Chicago? Because if I go across the country and I hear people bashing Chicago, and they kind of have a right to bash Chicago, I feel like I'm standing here as a small business owner saying, well, I guess I could, you know, be pro Chicago, but I can really tell you right now that I'm not getting as much help as I need or I want in Chicago. So what am I going to be out here saying? So, you know, we just need to have more opportunities to be visible in the city and the county and the state so small businesses can make some freaking money in this damn town. Otherwise, we're all leaving. We're going to leave. I mean, a lot of us are leaving.
I will
say
that.
Because we can't make it here, girl.
When the PTO thing came out, I literally looked into it.
When was that?
In November. And I'm like, do I reincorporate in Evanston? Because it has to be outside.
How about Delaware?
Well, I know. That's just whatever. That's the thing. But here's the thing, Ginger.
Heck out of Dodge.
It's not that I don't. Here's the thing. I feel like paying taxes is a privilege. If you are paying taxes, it means you made money. And I don't have a problem with paying taxes. I don't. And even if
I have a problem paying taxes either, as long as they're actually doing something.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. You're supposed to be able to elect the people to do the things you want. But this whole fucking country is so gerrymandered that literally the only voices that are getting heard are the Marjorie Taylor Greens, because they are the ones who've managed to, you know, chunk everything together so that like people who just want to like live their lives and not to fucking think about, you know, whether or not if their daughter gets raped, they have to carry the baby to term, like if they can, you know, just fucking be in the world. And I do think one of the bigger issues about being a small business owner is that I feel like we are all being dared to make mistakes. It's like we're not given like, hey, the law changed. Here's what you have to do now. And if they are, they're not doing it in a way that, you know, people can hear, or at least I can hear. Like maybe there is a place where those things are coming out, but I don't know where it is. And I've been doing this for almost 19 years now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's
gatekeepers, people that keep information away, you know, people that just don't give a damn.
You and me mm-hmm. as women, and you as a Black woman, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm thinking like when the rules do get not followed, there's always
out.
A guy, they know somebody who's going to get them out of it and they're going to avoid mm-hmm. fines. Whereas right. like, I'm just gonna be like, okay, I didn't do it right. I guess I'm just going to, you know, pay the fine and then pay a lawyer to undo it. Whereas like, you know, some just like fucking white guy with the sports bar that fucks up, they're gonna be like, it's okay. He's gonna be like, here's $1,000 and also don't, you know, it's like, I don't know how to play that game and I don't want to play that game.
Right. Yeah. I mean the handshakes, you know, and the single page contracts and the, you know, calling the friend and the guy and the buddy, you know, mm-hmm. the good old boy network thing is alive and well, you know, but just to, you know, play devil's advocate, there's a lot of women out there that are playing the game too, and they're not helping other women, you know, get ahead.
Well, and really, it's what, well, and a part of me
even,
is like,
they're not even doing enough to help other women. Like I can name 10 women that I've come across in my lifetime that propose to be, you know, like, all about women and independence and, you know, all the things, women's rights and making sure that, you know, women get access to opportunities, and they've never helped other women get the things done. So I'm not out here trying to bash women.
No,
I'm just
but the heart,
you know, we feed into the, we're many of us are feeding into that's, this, but you know, here, the patriarchy, the way,
I don't
the way it's
blame
supposed
them.
To be. You don't,
I don't blame
them.
No,
why?
Because when,
you wait, you don't blame who?
I don't blame the women who are playing the game. They figured it out. And it's like,
that
it sucks.
Man.
It sucks.
I hate
but
that. I
it
really
sucks,
hate
but,
that.
But why should I always have to be the one that does the fucking right thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
I always do because I'm a rule follower. I always do the right thing.
I do like, not even, follow the rules, but I do the right thing.
I'm a big rule follower. I don't like, my family owned a restaurant that ran it. Like everything fell off the back of a truck and it closed down in this very embarrassing, unceremonious way. So like when I made my business, I was like, I'm doing everything right and above board because I'm not going to lose my business because I thought I could game the system. And, you know, so I want to do right by it, but it makes it really hard when you see people that aren't and they're not getting busted for it. And the second I try to do anything, even slightly trying to like, well, maybe I'll call the alderman and see if he can get me out of it. Never fucking works.
It never works.
And then I'll hear from somebody else like, oh, I just called my alderman and he like checked the box and made it go away. And I'm like,
yeah, how's that work? How's that?
Am I invisible? Like, why am I? Why do I? You know, so
you know what I was thinking. Like, I was thinking, like, back in you know, when I started having children, and you know, not to like turn this into a bigger thing, but in 2007, so much change in the technology world. Like, things were created and born in mm-hmm. literally the year 2007.
YouTube was invented in 2007.
So much was going on. You know what was going on with me? I was popping out babies.
Yeah.
You know, like I literally had a window of invention and then I started having children. And I was thinking to myself, you know, my God, you know, women are like portals and we are givers and we are so distracted because we carry children and we just have to have babies, and which, you know, stops us from so many things. You know, you can decide not to have a child. And you could make a lot more money in the world. A woman can make a lot more money if she says no to children. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. I mean, she can keep going and you know, and it's just like, it just occurs to me sometimes. I'm like, you know, what are women supposed to do? Like, what are we actually supposed to do? Like, we want children. We want to have our own money. We want to have our own careers. You know, we want to be able to make our own choices. But, you know, things just happen, you know, and well, I'm not looking back with regret. I'm just looking back and just trying to figure out, okay, where is my opportunity to be a multimillionaire? Well, there was a couple windows and a couple portals that I couldn't go through because I had children. And why am I being punished for that? Like, why, like you said, like, why am I being punished? Because, you know, I'm raising three beautiful sons in the world and I'm sitting here trying to, you know, like you are trying to keep a business going and actually try to build wealth in the business while also raising children, and hopefully they can go on to college and not end up back on the plantation because they take out a student loan and they end up being broke and destitute. Like, what is it going to take? What people out there in the political arena, what is the Small Business Administration doing for small business, real small businesses? I'm not talking about 50 million plus businesses that can supply services to the military complex. I'm just talking about individual small business owners. Do you know, for example, I was filling out some forms, like trying to like see if I should be part of the 8A program, right? Which is like this huge program that the federal government offers to help small businesses have an opportunity with some of these larger contracts. And so you get like, you know, you get like special training and you get access to like other resources in the government and you actually get to apply for specific contracts that are only designed for X amount of dollars that, you know, that they know small businesses can do. And so I went through this thing, and this was, of course, last year, and I applied, and I got back an email from someone that's in the 8A program that's administering it. It was like 20 pages long about all the things that I didn't do right on my application. I mean, I was just like looking at this, like, and I actually sent back a message, and I said, you do not want a real small business to participate in this program. Like,
you need a company with a legal
Jesus.
Arm. And yeah,
I mean,
no.
It was insane. I was like, this is not a program designed for small business. This is a lie. This is a lie that the government is trying to help small businesses. They're not. Nobody's really trying to do it. So here we are. We're like freaking stuck here. And we have politicians that, honestly, I actually also think that the politicians, they are so detached from the reality of everyday people, that they don't even understand how some of the things that they could be doing for us could be actually life changing. They can literally change our lives at scale. Not just you.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that politicians, the problem with politicians, the second they get in there, they have to start re-election campaigns again. So it's like, you know, they can't
the
really,
money they have to raise.
They have to deal with the high level shit because they don't have the bandwidth to deal with any kind of the boots on the ground stuff. And I do think that, you know, more women being in the, like, for instance, like I am perimenopausal like a motherfucker. And I am always on the brink of a hot flash. It's horrible.
Have you seen Tracee Ellis Ross talk about this?
No.
Like she gave a speech last week and she was like, she forgot what she was saying. She's like, I made the wrong choice of clothes because she's perimenopausal. Yeah. She had on some giant fur and she broke out in a hot flash. And she was,
no, it's a real thing. I put this vest on thinking this is going to be a fool's errand. It's not going to be on for long for very long. But my point is that nobody talked about this shit. And then now, because Gen X women are doctors and have been,
you're talking about menopause?
There's just more research being done on it and there's more help out there. I went yesterday. I had to go. I was dying and I went to go see my doctor yesterday and like, you know, I had pelvic floor physical therapy I have to go to now and I'm on an estrogen patch. But I think that my point is that I don't like it's once we started having representation, that's when they started actually caring and looking into this and seeing it as a real problem.
So wait, are you saying that Gen X is representation for menopause and that's why this is all happening?
I think that Gen X are people that are actually doing something about it and realizing it doesn't have to be this way and do it. Like studies were only funded by companies that they used men as the basis for all the studies. So if there's not a man who goes through menopause, it's not a real thing.
And there is something that came out a couple years ago about a new, you know, menopause drug that a pharmaceutical company put together. There's also a corporate
element to it. Yeah. There has to be
more women aware of it so they can actually start buying into the pharmaceutical system.
It's kind of like when the Sex and the City movie came out, everyone's like, women go to movies. We had no idea that they were a financial block, this homogenous woman block that like
did you see the data that just came out about Taylor Swift and the NFL and the Super Bowl?
Well, so many hot takes. What about it?
Oh yeah. Well, just that like they have some like 47% increase or something. Viewership of women, of girls and women. And it's just, I don't know. It's a whole thing. Yes. But, and, you know, that Stanley Cup where they end up selling like millions and millions. Because women were using it. So
it's so stupid.
What does it all mean? Yeah. We're portals and vessels and nobody's actually helping us make the money, but they're definitely helping us get the money out of our damn pocket.
The 40-hour work week isn't really based on anything. It's just based on a number that was easy to figure out. And it also only works if you've got a person staying at home running your life. That's the only way a 40-hour week works.
Exactly.
And so by having women and men both working 40 hours, it's like they come home and it's like, oh man, who's going to clean the house? Well, the woman's going to, because that's what the patriarchy said, and dinners, et cetera. And so then somebody who's cleaning your house. You've got, you know, I have meal kits that get delivered to my house because what we were making for dinner was always fight in our family. Yeah, because we had to. It was like all we did was fight over what we were having for dinner. And once we got the meal kits in the scene, it's like, okay, three meals of our week are always covered. And then we can do takeout or go out for the other two or whatever. But I mean, that's the thing
I love that your fights were over meal kits. Damn you.
Well, it was fights over like, what are we having for dinner and who's making it? But the thing is,
the thing is, like, what you're talking about right now, like, Mayor Johnson, like, he had a press conference apparently where he was like, people were like, you know, asking him to do stuff. And he's like, I'm a dad. I'm married to a black woman. I have to get my kids to school. I have soccer games. I have so much to do. Like, he was actually talking about that and he got ripped for it because he's like, look, people are like, look, you're the mayor. We don't really care about all your problems. But to your point, like, you know, everybody's dealing with all these things. Like, everybody's working, you know.
Well, and that's where I mean, a lot of companies are going down to 4-day work weeks. And, you know, because of COVID, people figured out they can work from home. And so there's a lot more flexibility. And I feel like that's more like the impact of women being involved in this.
Yeah.
Realizing you don't need to be working 5 days. You know, if you can get it all done in four, fucking do it.
About like you don't even have to be home to do it.
But the point is that the small business issues that could truly change our lives, that would really be impactful, would be subsidized childcare and subsidized healthcare. At the end of the day, those are the two things. If those things were like, if you look at France or whatever, like they have the most incredible childcare that starts at like 6 weeks and everybody sends their kids to it.
Yep.
Rich, poor, everybody. Yep. Like there's no I think it's because too many people of color would benefit from it. So white people will not think to do it because you know, it's like they can't imagine their money going to help anybody else, even though all their money is going towards that.
Listen, healthcare is an issue that prevents people from running their own businesses because mm-hmm. they can't guarantee that they can maintain their standard of living if they have a health problem and yeah. they don't have insurance because they're an independent
or being able to pay for
business owner. Yeah, you know, exactly. If something goes wrong. I mean, that is such a magnificent challenge that, you know,
it's shocking to me that we don't care.
Let me just say this. If I there was one year where I got a single gigantic contract and it was the first time I'd ever gotten a large contract concentrated in a short amount of time. And I remember when I got this contract, I was like, oh my God, this is beautiful to have the freedom and flexibility to have this volume of money, because not only can I do a really great job on the client's project, but I can also take care of my family at the same time. Like, it was like, is this what it's like? Is this what it's like? And how do you replicate that? Mm-hmm. You know, and it was only because of the pandemic that happened. Mm-hmm. It was post George Floyd. It was all the like guilt money that mm-hmm. came in, you know, especially to women. It's true. You know what I mean? But how do you replicate that? And I feel like at that moment, there were politicians that were really fighting for the little guy at that time. You know, they were fighting for the little guy. And it was really driven by fear and guilt. And it wasn't necessarily driven by this is what we always should be doing. This is how we should be running the country with small businesses. It wasn't about that. But it should have been, because if it had been, we would still be in a situation right now where all of us would be having opportunities like I had that one single time life-changing contract.
But
right?
if you got I mean, it like, once, you could get it again.
Yeah, you can get it again, but the getting it again is the hustle that you were talking about earlier that makes you have to work so, so, so hard. I mean, I was fortunately in a position at that time that I had built a business that I could take an assignment like that, and I still can and still make it happen. But now to get to that type of assignment, to get to that type, that volume of revenue, to get, you know, single, like multiple single opportunities like that, it's like, you, like you said, what do I have? I have to step and fetch it, and I have to beg and claw, and I have to get past the gatekeepers. I have to ask the organizations and associations to help, which they're not doing because they're fighting for their lives because DEI is under attack. You know, you have politicians that are not focused on small business owners and helping them. So yeah, you can definitely get it again, but getting it again is a whole level of crazy. It's a whole level of crazy, Mary. I mean, it's just a lot. And I don't know. I don't think the environment now, and it's getting worse because of artificial intelligence, because all these tools are coming out, which are now giving people the opportunities to do whatever they want, however they want to do it, as fast as they want to do it. And I'm not saying no, because I love AI too, but I'm saying that the opportunities are getting thinner and thinner and harder for small businesses and independents to survive and have like stable opportunities to make money. And the people that are running the government, including President Biden, I'm sorry to say, are not doing enough and they need to do more for us.
The problem is that the problems are too big right now for them to even give a shit about us. But
that is really pathetic.
I know.
What do you mean?
I mean,
like one of the largest economies in the world. You mean to tell me that they can't break people off to like focus on us? That's bull.
Well, you would think.
I don't believe that.
I think it's underfunding of like my, you know, whatever.
Underfunding.
I think that the money in the government is earmarked for like, I mean, the defense budget is like 40% of our GDP. So like, or not that, is that how it works? No. Yes. And so it's like, you know, they could cut the government, the military in half. We'd still have the biggest military in the world. And then all that money could go towards, you know, don't even talk to me about how much money he's sending to, you know, to Israel, whatever. I'm like, it's the way governments spend money. It's a whatever thing. We can sit here and bitch about like they don't listen to it. What's the solution? Do you have a solution? Yeah. Do you have an idea?
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, the only answer is to...
Well, one of the solutions is to do what we're doing is to like ask people to actually talk about it. And that's the other piece, is that people are afraid to put it in their faces. The people are afraid to put it in their faces. And like I said, if I was a journalist, I would be asking different questions, but I'm not given the chance to kind of stand there and ask these questions. I mean, half the time they don't want you to ask these types of questions because they're actually really hard. It's much easier to come out with a sound bite and use the word process 10,000 times than to actually have a real conversation. You know what I mean? That's going to catch you in the end.
I will say, I'm serious. Mayor Johnson saying process 80 million times, what that tells me is he got in there and he's like, everything is done willy nilly. Like there's no, there's a form and a form and a form and a form. I'm sure what he's thinking is the SOP to run the government is fucked. And I am not used to this level of dysfunction within a working environment. And so he, like, if he just SOP'd the entire government, then maybe he would, we'd be able to, like, I oftentimes think, like, what if we just unplug SOP? Standard operating procedure? Like, and so
if he just SOP'd.
Like, well, I feel like,
yeah.
I just wish, sometimes I'm like, can we just unplug the government and plug it back in and just reset everything and just start over again?
Yeah, I think they tried that on January 6th and it was, you know, thank God.
Yeah, that's a good point. No, I have 3 minutes.
Don't say that. But listen, I've got
3 minutes. So let's what do we do with it?
I want to ask this last question, and I want to know what you think about Beyonce's Texas Hold'em song, because it's a black woman singing country music. And don't tell me you haven't heard it, because you're a DJ.
First of all, she can do no wrong, as far as I'm concerned.
Like, what is she going to say?
Her in that wig and the cowboy hat?
Girl, she's hot.
I mean, I would watch. And, you know... I think that Beyonce is a bit heartbreaking to me because I feel like she keeps getting denied the respect and the coverage and the awards that she deserves. Like she's, you know, and it's like, because here's the thing. I feel like Beyonce in the early days of her career was very pop oriented and very much, you know, like trying to make a product that everybody can like. And I feel like she's gone very... she's making her own thing. She's targeting whatever she wants to target. She wants
Listen. First of all, there's a whole thing around black people and country music. And I'm here to tell you that black people do not like country music. And, you know, I have a country band with my husband, Grant, Utah Carol. And, you know, the culture does not line up for it. And so what I love about what she's done is she's been subversive. She's like, you know what? Black people are going to love country music because I'm going to bring it. And she tapped all of these black people that play country instruments, you know, and brought them to the process of production. And I just love it. And I wish that there were, you know, I wish black Americans would open their minds. And I know that there's a history of country music and being in the country, you know, that's based on a lot of horrible racism and things like that. I mean, it's just really bad, but the music stands alone and it stands up and it stands apart. And I just feel like I love what she's done with it. You know, she's bringing a conversation around black people and country music to an industry that is so resistant to black people coming in. The color line in country music is really, I mean, I feel like it's like, we're talking about like when black people broke the color line in baseball, like this is what she's doing. And I love it. Well, what?
If you go to like, if you go back into the history of country music, there's a lot. I feel like there's a lot more influence from, you know, from soul and gospel and,
of course, and the banjo,
you know, and the spirituals, et cetera, that I think that white people that are the gatekeepers in country want to admit isn't
gatekeepers.
There.
Gatekeepers,
and the influence, you know, of black people on country music. I mean, even if you listen to it now, it's like you've got fucking, you know, like Luke Combs doing like, and I don't know if he's even a guy that does this, but there's a lot more like, you know, like electronic beats. I mean, they're borrowing from different genres and they're making it.
Yeah, but she's going hard though on the horse, the hat,
yes,
like the country scenes. I mean, the boots. I mean, but I mean, like when I saw her at the Super Bowl, I was like, oh my God, she's like channeling Dolly Parton.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? I love it. And Dolly would be like, let me help you, girl, because I'm going to bring you here. I'm going to bring you through. And I feel like someone needs to, if anyone's going to break the color line in country music, it can be Beyonce. And I hope that she brings more black people to explore country music and folk music and Appalachian music, because it is really, it's really great music. I'm not talking about the modern pop music of today. I'm really talking about some of the roots of country, which
you're Merle Haggard's. So,
I mean, sure. Yes, exactly. I mean, I'm ready for Beyonce. I'm ready for all the black people in country, not Charlie Pride. I want Beyonce country.
Well, they are there. There's like rumblings that she worked with Taylor Swift on this record. And if that's the case,
wait.
Look at her social media. There's a picture of her with Taylor Swift, and it says something like that. There's going to be an earthquake or something when the news of this comes out or something. It was like, yeah. So I can't wait.
All right. Okay. Well, listen, Mary, this has been a great conversation again. I love it. Part two of our amazing conversation on the Honest Feel Guide podcast. Everybody needs to check out Toast and Jam DJs. And I'm going to get Mary to come back on again because I have so much fun listening to her talk about all the cool things. So thanks for coming. I'm Ginger.
Bye. Thank you for having me.
You're supposed to say I'm Mary.
I'm Mary.
Thanks for coming to The Honest Feel Guide. See you soon.
Bye.
The Honest Feel Guide is produced by the team at Brook Creative, where brand and multi-channel strategies are designed to help you get attention, grow, scale, and keep up with the pace of change. The music on the podcast is written and performed by Utah Carroll. You can find their songs everywhere online to buy or stream. The opinions expressed on The Honest Feel Guide are solely those of the host and guests.